Yes.
A couple of people joined us. Three people joined us. Could you announce yourself?
Michael Greenegger here.
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone was very soft before Michael announced.
Bill McCarthy.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Mike. Hello.
Number one, Don.
Did someone just...
Oops, we just got somebody else. Who just joined us?
Doug Holmes.
Hi, Doug. And there was another one. Another person. Who just joined with it?
I don't know. We'll see. Matthew's not on, right? So we don't really
He said he wasn't going to join us, but he has been doing some stuff in the background. I can sort of update from his perspective.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and give us a quick update on the upcoming things that he's organizing in the next month and a bit.
Okay, supposedly we have three sessions in a row for the database and ontology mini series. Mainly someone from Oracle on the 28th, and then Chris Partridge on the following week, and John Sower the following week. So the update on that situation is the Oracle people decided that they would request two slots, so they would do one thing on the 28th, which will cover their RDF approaches and some of the things that's already in the market. And then they have great things to tell, but since the product is not announced, they couldn't sort of present it on the 28th. So they are going to put up another session in September, and I have a feeling they might want to tell us what they're doing with OWL and Oracle. So Matthew is scheduling that with the Oracle people. And in the meantime, he has been busy, so he might bring in Susie Stevens, who used to be the Oracle point person on RDF and how they're dealing with triples and so on, triple stores, I mean, from Oracle, who has recently joined Eli Lilly. So Susie may sort of take on some of the chairing of the series when Matthew is not available. Chris Partridge's session is on for sure. John Sower, I think we're still negotiating whether the July 12th date is locked in or whether he has travel on that day and may have to reschedule. So stay tuned on that one. So that's the general situation.
All right. Fair enough.
And I can see Ken Buklowski has already started a conversation with Matthew, as well as Bill McCarthy, also started the conversation. So adding on to the database and ontology series, we'll have Bill and company talk about ISO 15944-4, which we will discuss a little later, as part of the follow-up on the Ontology Summit. And then Ken has suggested that we feature some of the new developments in triple stores and quad stores that are servicing, emerging in the market, which Matthew definitely welcomes and I guess is requesting Ken to maybe bring in some pointers or contacts. Is that right, Ken?
Yes, I'm working on that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's an active, that's ongoing.
It might be good to, this wheel, to try to get somebody from Franz for Allegro Graph.
From where?
Franz.
As in Franz Liszt, yeah.
Yeah, Franz, that's a good idea.
Because Allegro Graph is, they say they can handle like billions of triples, but... and them and the what is it, the OWL IM group in Bulgaria are the ones that say that they can handle, you know, the largest amount of cripples.
Can you spell the name of these companies for me?
FRANZ, Franz, and their main product is Common Lisp. But the product we're talking about is called Allegro Graph.
Mm-hmm. Allegro Graph.
A-L-L-E-G-R-O, G-R-A-H, all one word.
Could you spell this company name again?
Franz, like the first name of Franz Liszt, the pianist.
Yeah, that's...
F-R-A-N-Z. Okay, Franz. All right.
And who are the other people
from Bulgaria?
Yes, OWL IM, so it's all one word. I forget where the center is, but they're the folks that came out with OntoText and a number of other semantic web products. It's a research group. Yeah, it's called OWL IM.
R-I-M.
Yeah.
OWL.
O-W-L-I-M.
O-W-L-I-M, one word.
Yes.
All right. And OntoText from Bulgaria.
Yeah, it's I can try to get those references. I'm not online right now, so I couldn't.
Okay. All right. If you email me an update or post it directly to the wiki afterwards, I mean that would sound great.
Okay.
All right. I just saved. And if you refresh.
Okay. While we're doing that, then I think only if by exception, basically, maybe we should have anyone who has anything to add on current project status report. I'm stepping down to item number 7 on the agenda now. And the reason I'm sort of pushing a little bit faster is because I think we do want to get to item 8 before some people start peeling off by 2.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, please.
So is there anything by exception that people want to bring up on the projects listed under item 7 in the agenda? Hearing none. We wanted to spend some time today, I think, talking about what we can do about the Ontology Summit so that it doesn't just sort of become a little flash in the pan and then everyone forgets about it. And I know various of us have been having sort of sidebar conversations about that in terms of the usefulness, for example, of one or more papers coming out of it. I know the Wikipedia idea was floated in terms of having some group of us, make a Wikipedia entry. So I think we want to bounce that around today a little bit, is what venues might be appropriate and who might be available to put together a bit of a paper that captures some of what we accomplished at the Ontology Summit. In particular, I know that... Peter, you and I were talking a little bit that in some communities out there right now, it seems that still people have sort of misunderstood what the intention of the Ontology Summit was and misunderstood it to mean trying to identify what is an ontology, and by virtue of us having this large diagram which included, the entire spectrum, we are being misunderstood to claim that everything in that diagram, therefore, is a quote-unquote ontology, which, of course, is very unfortunate because that's not what we intended. Plus, it really undermines our credibility, I think, if people believe that's what we're saying. So it's along those lines that I think it would be in all of our interests to sort of set the record straight, get some positions out there a little bit more clearly as to what we were trying to do in terms of describing a spectrum in which one could find oneself, whether you call it an ontology or not. That's kind of, I think, in my mind, the main motivation for us to take this forward, not just for posterity and history, but to avoid misunderstanding. Any comments?
Yeah, I totally echo that sentiment. And actually, I was at a Stanford meeting, the protege team meeting, and one person was reporting a biomedical meeting that shortly followed the ontology summit, of which the ontology summit was mentioned, but unfortunately the only characterization I heard out of that person was that it was humorous, because now you can even call a shoe an ontology. I believe Olivier was at that meeting. Maybe you can tell us more about it, Olivier.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what kind of meeting you're referring to. I wasn't at the protégé meeting. I was at...
No, it wasn't the protégé meeting. The person was reporting on another... It was possibly an NIH or some...
Yeah, the NCBO's, the NCBO advisory board.
I just extracted it, edited it.
That's the meeting I went to, the NCBO, the NCBO scientific advisory board meeting.
Oh, I see.
So, but I don't think that's the one you're referring to, is it?
It could have been, because I didn't quite catch what meeting it was. I mean, I was in this meeting with Mark Musen and a few people. And
well, regardless of that, I think even as a proactive measure, it would probably be a good idea. So I think the question before us here is, where and how might we get some publications out of there, out to the public on this topic? And Olivier, I guess, at least in this agenda, you're quoted as saying it would be nice to do an academic paper. Peter Brown was, I don't know, half volunteering his new researcher. Is that right?
Sort of. I mean, that's all I captured from his posting. It was a post that he made to the forum. But before that, I mean, we did talk about pinging Nicola Guarino, and Nicola replied. So thanks to Leo, and he said, there's no problem. I mean, of course, we go through the usual review process. And somehow earlier in an organizing committee meeting, the organizing committee actually identified three potential candidates to write up that report for applied ontology. And if I remember correctly, the committee suggested either Michael Gruninger, someone else, and then Frank Oaken and Deborah McGinnis, in that order. So since we were actually expecting Frank here as well, Deborah did not respond, so she's not here. But we do have Michael here. Michael, would you be kind enough to take on that?
To take on exactly what again? The writing of the paper?
Yeah, writing. I mean, I don't know if you remember last year on applied ontology, there was a report that Leo Obers and all wrote for applied ontology, sort of reporting on the Upper Ontology Summit.
Right.
And the communique.
Right. Well, no, that's just, I guess that's what we're going to be talking about today, like what the nature of this would be. I mean, was it going to simply be a report of what happened, or was it going to be something a little more kind of elaborate in the sense of incorporating the communique and elaborating a little bit more of the population?
I think it's up to us to decide that. So I think what we want to do is present actually what occurred. So, comparable to last year's report, simply as a historical artifact, but also even in that we talked about what kind of effort we were involved in. And
right.
So the elaboration of the dimensions, I think, could be, at least to some extent, could be a part of this report. I would keep the research paper separate from that.
Right, yeah, so that's why I just want to kind of understand, like, yeah, out of today's meeting is exactly what is it going to be.
Right, right. We did say that, I mean, we'll separate the reporting paper, especially the publication of the communique, into the right journal, which is like applied ontology.
Yeah.
And then an academic paper, which probably needs a lot more research. I mean, as Olivier characterizes it, I mean, it's a good thing to have, but it's going to be a lot more work before it could be published.
Well, and specifically what I remember mentioning is that if we want anything to be published, we should have some kind of operational definitions of the dimensions and some at least a subset of possible candidate ontologies or whatever artifacts that we want to classify along these dimensions thrown through these operational principles so that we could actually demonstrate that it works reasonably.
Mm-hmm. Right, but with this reporting paper, would it contain, minimally, would it contain the communique?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. Something we want to go into publication formally.
Right, okay.
So we want something, I think, that people can point others to set the record straight when there's a misunderstanding, nothing else.
Uh-huh.
But I think it would be the communique plus sort of an explanation of what that means and what the implications are.
Yeah, so I would basically look at the paper from last year and, you know, structure it kind of like that because it's reporting what actually occurred, the discussions, the points that were, you know, contentious, and the resolution, so the eventual communique, and then the participants. So it acts as a kind of an official historical artifact that we can all point to and, you know, or people who weren't present, we can direct them to that and say, you know, this is the actual historical summary of what occurred.
Uh-huh. Now, would that kind of be adequate in this case? So because in the previous ontology summit, kind of the essence of that communique was this idea of kind of groping towards a kind of a almost a methodology for saying, okay, we're going to kind of all these upper ontologies will live together and we'll try to understand the relationships. Whereas this one, because it was a framework that we were kind of, you know, trying to craft together, one of the problems, even at the end of the summit, we recognized was that there's still a little bit left to do in terms of like examples, more population kind of was needed because it was ending up to be a little too abstract. Did anybody else kind of get that feeling?
Yes and no, but essentially even on the communique as well as the discussion, it was plainly accepted that this is just the beginning and mm-hmm. not the conclusion. So
okay, all right, well. All right, I guess, yeah, I could take a pass at that then, like Leo said, kind of modeled on last year's.
Yeah, maybe I'll mention what the last year's process was. We identified, and Leo as the sort of lead author, so he went ahead, sort of asked around to see who else wanted to be part of the team, and most of the rest of the team sort of got to be co-authors and reviewed the paper, made their suggestions. So it could be a long list of co-authors, but with one lead author,
mm-hmm.
hopefully yourself, Michael this year, Leo last year, and we even went into discussing how to list the authors. So after the lead author, everybody else sort of came in
mm-hmm.
on alphabetical order.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
yeah, and Mike, I'm certainly willing to participate in this. I just don't have the time to be the lead this year, that's all.
Right? No, I just wanted to be clear on what the limits are of the paper, the scope of the paper.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear about that before we dive into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I'm sort of capturing this as Michael agreed to be the lead author this year.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, did we want to talk about the more involved, longer-term academic paper at this point, or is that a little premature? I mean, are we just going to, Olivia, are you just going to sort of start chewing on that one with your, or is that Peter Brown, I guess, right?
Yeah, Peter Brown is not here. That's why he said, I mean, I'll bring put in my input, and that's what he said. I mean, if nobody else wants to do this, he is planning to do it.
Well, I think, you know, if this is a junior person, I don't think that that's necessarily a good idea.
Right.
So, you know, I'm willing to participate in this, too. And, in fact, might be of interest to bring in somebody like Eldo Ganjami, who's worked on kind of frameworks before. In fact, in our early discussion on the Ontology Summit list, he mentioned, you know, his framework and his so-called dimensions. So there's quite a bit of work that's been done. It's just not kind of parallel to us. He's more focused on the higher-end ontologies, but again, that might be useful to include somebody like that.
Hmm.
Okay. And again, I mean, since the first set of candidates would probably be those who wrote up the original framework statement, namely like Leo and Michael, Tom, Deborah, and so on. Was it only just four of you, or was it a fifth person?
Frank and Olivier also, you know, composed the communique. That,
exactly.
Right, you know,
right.
So.
So
I would open it up to everyone, essentially, you know, who's interested.
Olivier, you were saying something?
Here. Unfortunately, I won't have too much time to devote to that. I mean, I will be happy to contribute comments and things like this, but I cannot promise that I will take the lead on such a paper. And I have to leave right now, so I'm saying bye to all of you, and we'll read the rest in the minutes, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that one's sort of, I think we're going to digest or let that one mature a little bit more. And maybe we can discuss the academic paper at a future meeting as well and see who's willing to take a lead on that.
I think it'll take longer.
Around a little bit, I mean, especially of the academicians, who would academically want to take this on? I mean, who has sort of
Again, what would be the scope of that paper then? Like, would it be just a description of the framework that Peter Brown had kind of synthesized? Because you know, that in it by itself, I'm not sure how impactful that would be.
No, I think
it would have to be more than that.
It will have to be sort of following the whole line of the Ontology Summit. So Peter Brown and Team C sort of came up with a shorthand on graphically representing it, but obviously that's not based on logic or machine computable terms.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think this kind of paper, if it's to be an academic research paper, it'll have to focus on both the formal side and also this is kind of like the empirical side. You know, it's an experiment, right, where we've developed a framework and now we actually try to do some mappings of artifacts that exist out there within the framework, and then do some sort of evaluation of that. So, you know, again, to make it an interesting research paper, I think you have to include those components.
Right. I would separate the diagram effort from the academic research effort.
Well, one can be, I think the diagram effort can be a subset of the academic research paper.
But I would not roll that sort of as being into one.
Yeah, so then we're talking three different, you know, papers.
If the diagram becomes a paper, yeah.
I don't know whether Peter Brown was alluding to, I mean, he did allude to sort of updating the diagram, that being one, but his particular input was, I mean, he wanted to contribute to the academic paper also. So which?
Okay, so it may be that there's two papers, and so the Michael Gruninger reporting paper the academic paper, and then there's a third activity, which is updating the diagram, which will feed into the second paper, but not necessarily be all of it.
Right. There was a sort of call for an exercise to update the diagram so that it matches the communique, which has yet to be done, because one person, I think Nancy Weigand from Wisconsin Madison, did point out that there are certain elements on the communique that didn't even show up on the diagram, and that part of it has to be updated so that at least the whole thing becomes consistent.
Right. Okay. And then what Michael had mentioned, which was more examples so that people can understand more clearly, I think, what the diagram means.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have to go, folks.
Yep.
Sorry, thanks.
Hey, we're losing them fast, okay.
Well, because it seems to me like that's where this has... And I think, see, to me, having more examples that populate a framework is really the best response to anyone who... You know, on the one hand, says a shoe can be an ontology, right? Because the examples would clearly show, you know, in what sense things kind of go from the formal to the informal along one dimension, and you know, along other dimensions, how they progress.
Right.
And hopefully, you would recognize that a shoe doesn't even fall in that dimension. Yeah. Right. So I think that's kind of important to have that without a good. Some kind of document. I mean, it might, you know, maybe it's not a journal paper. Maybe it is more of a, you know, like a Wikipedia-style artifact. But without having that kind of population to illustrate the different values of a dimension, well, first of all, I don't think we can really make any progress on possible values of a dimension without being guided by examples. I mean, you could do that if you had a formal definition, because then you can, you know, follow the consequences of a formal definition. But because... You know, by design, we are including a lot of the more informal things. Then we're really going to be guided by those examples. So I'm not sure what kind of an academic paper you could write talking about the framework without having first been at least motivated by a very broad set.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And since I was heavily involved in the population aspect, this is Ken. I think. That would be a really great place to start, you know. That I'd like to be involved in that activity.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So maybe just need some kind of mechanism for gathering that. I mean, like this can be something that's being done, like I said, in a wiki style kind of thing, where people are posting.
Right.
That things that they have been calling ontologies. I mean, we were starting to do this like in discussions at the summit, but to do this in a kind of more recorded and principled way, just to say, you know, like here's what I'm working on. I'm calling this an ontology, and here's how I feel that my artifact addresses the dimensions. And you know, maybe saying, okay, I don't think it captures this particular dimension, or I think there's a different dimension. You know, like all some mechanism for feedback and criticism of the framework and whatnot.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's where I was going to think as well. We could do two things on this, the Ontolog Wiki. One is just what you're talking about, Michael, and I would suggest as people put it on, you know, the provenance of that position is recorded. In other words, you know, somebody writes down their name saying, I'm putting it in this position, so that people know who to respond back to. I think that's kind of important. And then also we could use the Ontolog Wiki as the sort of the ground for drafting the thing that we ultimately submit to Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. That way we can sort of iron out a lot of kinks before we get involved in the, you know, official Wikipedia editor's control. Get it to a point where we're starting to feel pretty comfortable with it, and then we can sort of, as an organization, submit it to Wikipedia. So that might call, if people like those ideas, we can make some pages off of the Ontolog homepage. What do you think, Peter? One for specifically for populating the framework, and another one for drafting a Wikipedia article.
Yes, definitely. And I would, I mean, at this point, if we could have someone step up and sort of champion either one of the few exercises that we were talking about, that would be nice. One would be, I mean, to round up people to submit more examples into the framework and cleaning that up. I mean, where there are conflicts and so on. I believe also that there were some discussions, and if we look back and into those submissions, I mean, there were things about sort of the metrics or the dimensions within each of the dimensional elements
mm-hmm.
that needed to be at least formalized or clarified.
Right.
So, Ken, what do you think about, since you are, I think we're involved from the start of this, would you like to be the gardener, if you like, of the wiki for populating the framework?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. I already have a lot of experience, and we have a lot of ontologies already in. Well, it's on the wiki, but as files, you know, not necessarily as pages. So what I need to do is to set it up so that we have a nice wiki page that people could get into and edit, you know, as the population of ontologies increases.
Right.
So I could definitely work on that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, team, this is Tom. Let me jump in real quick. You know, I sent out that message that tried to structure a way of just talking about the distinctions when people talk about ontologies. It's not the same thing as the framework, but it's explicitly designed as a way of capturing providence of positions. In other words, you know, do you think ontology has to be formal or not? What is your argument for and against? Instead of just saying it is and then erasing the previous edit and making it be yours like a wiki. I was just ask the people to take a look at that. It's a style of knowledge representation of a dialogue using a wiki. And maybe we can incorporate, if someone would actually make their statements, you know, people have opinions, but they need to, like, if they put them in the form of, okay, here's this distinction, here's my position, you know, then you can capture that province, as it were. And then when you go to Wikipedia, their community norm is it's got to be neutral tone. So if you are stating a thing that has arguments for and against it, then you can just say, here's the position, here's the issue, here's the arguments for and against, and just put that in the article as well. That way there's not, I think there's a better chance of getting kind of a consensus, or at least covering the spaces without having this whole problem of, you know, my way versus your way kind of thing. You guys know what page I'm talking about? Ontology just...
Whoop.
It's on the wiki, right? It's on the Ontolog wiki.
We lost Tom, I think.
No,
I'm
definitely.
Here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't find it, Peter. I don't know where it's linked to. I sent it out in an email message to everybody. It seemed to sort of follow up on the conference. But if you're trying to do this process of capturing a space of positions, a bunch of people, about what the nature of ontology is, where examples lie in a framework, then at least consider just looking at what I put out there. It's gotten a little bit of play, but not much. And to consider it as a structure for inviting cooperation, inviting participation, which doesn't involve, like, writing a paper. It just says, mm-hmm. instead of replying all to a giant list with a huge amount of text, just find your space in the argument space, find your position, and add your entry there. If you guys would take a look at it, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a sort of a modern version of what used to be done with, you know, with these various argument structures in more formal ways.
Right. I remember your post to the Ontolog Summit. So it's linked to on the Ontolog Summit archives. It is not linked to, I mean, and you started a wiki page also. Yes. Although I don't think much input has gone in there.
Right, it hasn't, because it hasn't really been kind of hard to find, for one thing. So all I'm saying is I don't really care. You know, I did some work to try to structure that conversation. It's sort of an experiment in structuring dialogue like this, because I found that our dialogue really didn't converge in the normal threaded discussion mode. And it would be nice to know what are the positions in a summary way. And usually if someone just writes a paper, it's kind of hard to capture all the, you know, the, why there are differences in opinion and so on and all that. So anyway, just take 5 minutes. Take a look at the page. See what you think. If it's not going to be useful to this process, fine. That's all. I'm just offering that because I did some work to try to put that in there, offering to you guys to, as an example.
Peter, do you think you could dig that up, that page, and have a link to it on the minutes of today's meeting?
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
That might help because otherwise we're all going to be wandering around trying to find it. It's,
no problem.
Yeah, I had to wander around to find it myself.
Yeah,
the title of the page is Ontology Distinctions. I think if you just search the wiki for that, that's another way of finding it.
Oh, yeah, I found it. Yeah, I can.
Yep.
All right. Maybe it's not so bad. Ontology Distinctions. All right, so the only thing we have left as far as trying to get anyone to step forward is the wiki page authoring lead. If we think anyone is interested in taking that one on, it's just to sort of get the ball rolling. Obviously, it'll get a lot of edits and participation before it ends up going over to Wikipedia.
Well, what's the subject of the page? Is this a proposal to replace the entry in Wikipedia for applied ontology, or is it something, just another page about, you know, ontolog, or what's the scope of this or the intent of this?
I was imagining it was going to be something along the lines of a spectrum or framework of ontology, something like that.
Right. I think we won't sort of take over their page, but maybe start another one that is associated or related.
Right.
And start sort of posting a sort of good reference there.
Why wouldn't we take over the page?
Of applied ontology?
Like ontology, computer, on Wikipedia, there's an ontology,
yeah.
Computer science and ontology, philosophy
right.
or whatever. I mean, I think those are great pages.
Well,
we could add to that, or maybe we could start ontology framework and have that page linked to it.
Yeah, they're fine pages. It's just, you know, we could certainly add to them. I mean,
well, if it went that way, that's fine. Or they might want to split it out into a separate concept. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, you guys. If you guys come up with the sort of subpage about whether it's ontolog frame, the dimensions framework, whatever it is, if it's then when you're ready with that, I will take on the. I will look again at the Wikipedia pages and see if there's a way to merge. Because I have it on my agenda sometime this year to influence the Wikipedia page on applied ontology or ontology for computer science. But I don't want to go in there by myself. I want to go in there with some consensus with you guys and nothing else. You know, certainly maybe larger consensus than even that. But certainly don't want to speak just as an individual. And I think. I want to, if we do this right, I mean, I have some stature in that community, as well as obviously, you know, in the definition of ontology and history of that talk. And so what I'd like to do is use that as a thing to say, hey, guys, here's a new way of doing Wikipedia, which is have collaborative communities using wikis and all whatever else they use, and then have it proposed as a, by the way, you know, we did a Wikipedia process, but we did it, like, in our community. With known people and known opinions, et cetera, et cetera, so that we can sort of stand behind and put our name on this page.
Yeah.
I think, you know, an interesting change in the way Wikipedia works.
Right.
I think that's absolutely wonderful.
Susan, I was actually hoping that as part of the historical report of what your community has done, that you actually would talk about the very innovative way in which your community worked, all of the discussion that culminated in the face-to-face and the communique, and maybe that would be separate from your scholarly article, but just as you're saying how that could be valuable to Wikipedia, I mean, I think that's a pretty significant virtual organizing process that could be beneficial around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so it's not just the domain, except your expertise in the domain. I mean, the two of them together is what really gives some power, where people can find a way to tap into your ontological expertise, but also tap into how you have learned to work together.
Great. Well, well said. And we have an item later, further down, where we could discuss maybe leveraging on your expedition workshop.
Yes.
As a sort of retrospect on mm-hmm. on this group process
mm-hmm.
and what it actually meant.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would very much welcome that as well.
Okay, so back to the briefly to the Wikipedia article then.
If you guys refresh, now I've captured a few things since, and I have the links to Tom's posting as well as the page, at least for now. And of course, we can move some of those back to the Ontology Summit homepage there.
Sorry, are we supposed to be on the conference call page or something else?
Conference call page.
Okay.
Consistently on the conference call page. I also captured that Ken will champion the populating of the framework and try to get more input from more people. Tom championing the Wikipedia paper with support and consensus from this community, noting his sort of work where he posted and trying to get input on the ontology distinctions.
Right. Well, maybe that's – it's not clear to me now. If we, for example, jump into Tom's page and start fleshing that out with different both opinions and examples, is the sense of this group that that could constitute the foundation for a Wikipedia page? It's not.
But this, Tom, I would argue that it's not by itself. No, I think the framework, the Wikipedia page should have something like those distinctions, which would be really about, they really are trying to get at what do we mean by ontology? What are the boundaries of this space and why? And then the framework is a separate kind of analysis. I would just say take the structure, the argument structure, or the Wikipedia pattern that I put there, repeat that for the framework as well.
Yeah.
And then, for each of the things, you can populate your examples underneath it like that. That would be a nice, clear way where you I love it when you said capture the provenance of the positions. See, Wikipedia doesn't do that well now, and this is a way of doing that. Say, look,
I was noticing you've got names at the end of every bullet that people are sort of expected to provide, right, so that you can tell where people are coming from.
Exactly, yeah. And then, so what I can imagine doing in Wikipedia is to take that whole thing, give it a good process, give it some time to work it out, make sure everyone knows that they have, you know, have a call for participation if it's not clear, you know. And then, after we gather input, it's not quite like the survey. The survey was a bit higher detail and more, you know, than this. But basically, say this is an experiment in collaborative editing of a consensus document, or at least a document that represents the community, whether it's consensus or not. And then this is your chance. It's got an inherent structure that nobody is left out. So if you have a strong opinion that wants to be said, there's a place for it. And then an editorial kind of process can just summarize and say, okay, here's where we're coming from. We learned something. We learned this. We're not clear on this. You know, and so on. And then that would – so that's how I'd imagine coming out. And
yeah.
In the Wikipedia world, you know how it's moving towards semantic wikis and all this other stuff. There's a lot of chance that this would be an interesting – data point for that community to also look at in terms of structured argumentation.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, I would see that perhaps this structured argumentation that you're talking about might be the way that, Ken, you would structure the population of the framework, right?
Yeah, I was hoping to that the page would be exactly that, you know, as be a collection of ontologies. For each ontology, you have the various dimensions. And then, you know, there could be quite an argument about just exactly where you place that ontology in each of the dimensions.
Right. And I was thinking that maybe that's not all that separable from the explanation. In other words, placing a specific ontology in that page, which has the provenance of people's positions, is also where people would be explaining why a particular ontology, and maybe the principles behind which why they ended up with that particular ontology being where it is. So maybe the discussion of the nature of the framework and the population of the framework are kind of one and the same discussion, which could work well in this structured discussion form that Tom was suggesting. What do you think?
Yeah, in the survey results, people were actually giving detailed explanations of what was covered by the ontology, and what kind of an ontology it was, and so on. There wasn't a framework for them to work with at the time, but it was clear that that's what people were trying to do. They were trying to place these ontologies within a larger framework.
So we could even take a first, or you or the group of us could take a first pass at taking the survey results, go ahead and populating the structured discourse wiki with some of those entries, getting, and then sort of solicit the originators of those entries to say, do you buy off, do you agree with that, as well as other people adding to it.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind.
That sounds great, yes.
Sounds really good. I think that should work. And then, in the meantime, Tom is sort of watching and formulating the Wikipedia paper. Does that sound right, Tom?
Yep, you got it. That'll be perfect for me. I'll watch for a while, let it bubble, let it play, and then you guys, I think we learn collectively, and then I'll stay hands off. I've already done my bit in that to this particular page, my position statement. And then, then we'll come back in whatever amount of time it takes. I don't know. And then, I'll say, okay, guys, this is what a Wikipedia article might look like. We can have an argument about that, and then we can iterate and then submit it.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. Well, listen, in the interest of time, unless anyone has something burning on that, I suggest we move to the next bullet, which is an update on the audio archive.
Okay. It's simple. All the session recordings are posted. I mean, both in terms of the high-resolution recording directly from NIST and a compressed version, which is slightly edited but mainly compressed, which is about maybe 1/8 the original size. They are all posted now, and they're actually properly tagged. So actually, most of the work actually had to go into tagging and putting in all the metadata into the recording. So they're up now, and Arnold is working on the presentation audio segments. And by the time he is done, then maybe each of the talks will have its own audio snippet. So if someone wants to just go into, Leo and Michael's framework talk, or Deborah's spectrum talk, or Tom's keynote talk, or Thomas Vanderwaal's Foxonomy talk, they could do that by the time we're done. So that's probably another few days away, but it's being processed.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you, Peter. So, okay, what are we going to talk about on this, the retrospect?
Someone was editing the wiki while I was editing. May I know who it was?
Oh, I added myself as joining, and I put that I was interested in the academic paper. And I put that in the comments.
Is that Deborah?
Yes.
Oh, hi. We actually could only have one person editing at the same time, so I'll add you back in.
Okay, fine. So I only added two things, one that I joined and the other one that I was interested. I just added a line below Leo on saying I was interested in the academic paper participation.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. So what do we want to say or do possibly at the expedition workshop? This is the next bullet item now on the agenda, on July 17th. Susan, did you have any expectations on that?
Yes. I would be delighted if one or more people from the forum would share the organizing process, but basically the virtual organizing process with which, you could talk about your forum activities generally, but even specific to how you organized for the summit, months that you spent in conversation that you know, led to basically the organization of the summit itself, and the communique and basically the learning. And then that would be one story. A second story would be told by people who did similar work that culminated in the data reference model. In the third story would actually be led by the so-called Tsunami Wiki community, this self-organizing network of volunteers. And we've got interest. Kind of one angle would be is what is the role of ontology in the formation of hastily formed networks? And I've got people from the Office of Naval Research that want to explore some of these communities as part of their humanitarian mission. And so this actually leans a little bit more on the informal side, a little bit more on the, you know, folksonomy side of your community. But I thought it would be an interesting way to draw in these three different communities, including our, you know, government people advancing the data reference model.
Yeah.
So would you be looking for one speaker, one panel, one segment of your day? This would be a great opportunity for us as well, and we definitely support it. Tell us how we could organize to sort of coordinate with your efforts.
Sure, I'd say definitely, you know, one speaker or two that would, you know, tell the story in like, 40, 45 minutes, and then we'll, in the afternoon, probably have both a panel and some breakout group.
In some ways, Peter, you're the logical choice on this. But, of course, you're not physically in this area, an issue.
So you become the logical choice.
Well, I don't know. I hesitate to I'm fighting a few battles right now that make this difficult for me. I'm not sure. What about, well, Leo's not here. He's another possibility since he is local. Or Olivier, you're local.
He's left the call also.
Olivier both left.
Now, Frank, it sure would be convenient for Frank because we meet in the, you know, NSF boardroom. Maybe it could be one remote person and one on site.
Yeah. I plan to attend, so I'll be there. I am just hesitant to be the front person right now, there's a number of issues why I can't really do that too easily right now. So I'm happy to participate and even chime in, but I don't think I can be the lead.
Well, that's fine. I would say our remote presenter our lead presenter could be remote because the lead presenter from the tsunami story will not be present either.
Well, Peter, how would you feel about I could kind of do the intro and preamble, and then you could take people into the process more detail.
That sounds fine, and also I would sort of be the liaison to work with Susan on this, and I definitely would start contacting, the active organizing committee members and the people who had a key role to play. I mean, Ken and various of the breakout groups and so on. So it will make it. Make it into something really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in that context, then I'm willing to stand up for part of it anyway.
Well, that sounds great. And if I thank you all very very much, and if I could also extend an invitation, I also would welcome presentation in July. On July 17, we're actually focusing on researchers who are, what they're saying is that they're mapping science, but they're basically mapping knowledge domains, which means they're coming from, you know, informatics backgrounds, but they're doing the visualization. And as I think about it, that could be key because it is starting to look at the knowledge representation that puts things in a conceptual space that's also visual and really intended for people to get a sense of the whole. And if you don't mind, Peter, a little later when you're finished, I'll add a couple links that will help you understand what I'm referring to. And some of these maps, Steve, perhaps may be appearing on the walls of NIST. Patricia Hilton from NIST is talking to people, and she's got these gorgeous maps that are the first-round culmination of some of this work.
That sounds great. But can I get the dates straight?
Yes.
You said July 17th again, which is
August 14th. The mapping of science focus is August 14th.
Okay. So the first one you are talking about is July 17th.
July 17th, right. That's correct. Yes.
Be the three different perspectives on sort of collaboration, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the title of that August 14th session again?
I haven't cooked it, but I'm keying off Katie Borner's work, and she talks about places and spaces, mapping of science.
Oh, mapping of science. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great. Sounds good.
Next on the agenda, then, is what is this? Scheduling an updated presentation on ISO 15944.
You just need to pick a date on this one.
Oh, is that all we need to do?
Yep.
I don't know if we need to do that in the whole group, then, right?
Nope.
Right.
Okay. September 9th. September 6th.
Yeah, we've got two dates. You have a preference on either one of them?
Yeah, go earlier the better.
September 6th.
Okay,
done.
So you've got it.
All right. Okay. Why don't I roll the next three into one, which is other business, new project proposal, sponsorship and funding, and other business. Anything anyone has to offer at this point?
No.
Okay. In that case, I guess we are going to be getting together next week, 7 days from now. What's the agenda next week, Peter?
We don't have a specific agenda for next week, but the week after that, the Texel Thesaurus team will be reconvening and sort of run an update on where things stand after sort of a pause for a few months. So next, we actually have a few items from last week that were outstanding in between now and then. I would try to sort of work out what would be the main focus for next week.
Okay.
One of the things, I mean, now that Susan had mentioned about mapping or the visual mapping and so on, Susan wasn't here last week, but we did talk about a possibility of a mini series on informal ontologies.
Okay.
And I had thought of, this has been brewing for a long time, for years actually,
mm-hmm.
of bringing in a few people on informal ontologies. And, of course, I mean, the first person that comes to mind, again, would be Tom, who actually, I think, coined the differentiation between a formal, a semi-formal, and informal ontology.
Mm-hmm.
And then the various people that are doing concept maps, dialogue maps,
mm-hmm.
and so on, like the Jeff Conklin's,
yeah.
Simon Buckingham Shum from KMI and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, as I explained last week, I'm having a conversation with Gene Holm from NASA, who actually had sort of presented more from the perspective of knowledge management and how you could sort of get the shared understanding, I mean, the softer side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be interesting. And
yeah.
I'm still trying to get a hold of Gene to see if NASA would be interested to maybe team up with us on this.
Oh, yeah, that sounds very good. I was exposed to an interesting concept mapped approach at the InterOp event, Josh Lubell's group on digital preservation. Nice open source tool. That sounds very good. And
Your August session would definitely give us some inspirations.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, besides these, then we also have the topic maps and subject maps people who the formalists probably would consider sort of less than totally formal.
Right. And it'd be interesting to think of, I mean, where people would perceive Katie Borner's work. I mean, they take all science journals and use some, you know, extraction to result in a visual representation of all of the domains and subdomains of science. So it would be interesting to, you know, have a look-see at how these, you know, judgments are made.
Yeah.
And are you looking for more people for your database in ontology seminar, or maybe not?
Oh, we're always looking for people.
I'm going to post the link, and Steve, this goes back to NIST, which is the Thermo Markup Language group that's, I think, done some pretty significant work I was reading about this week.
I'm not aware of it. Thermo Markup Language?
Yeah, Thermo Markup Language, and they've been able to develop a whole process flow whereby they can automatically get all data from journal articles, and it is up to databases with 125 properties, so very complex, and allowing different scientists to validate, you know, with one another's data sets. And I think it could be, it's a particular domain, but I think it could be a model, a generic model for what would be beneficial in any number of settings. I'll post this link on the wiki. Is that appropriate, or Peter, should I send it to you? Okay.
Please, yeah.
I'll let you finish, and a little later I'll put in this link.
Yeah. It's news to me, but this is a big play.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Yeah, and it's all, well, we got people here excited because it's XML-based.
Yeah, but before we close, maybe I mention one thing in case Ken didn't realize. Bill McCarthy actually made a contribution to Population, which was not presented because he didn't turn it in before like 12 midnight the other time. But all the work is really good, and it's on the Population session. And when you're soliciting more input and exemplars on the sort of artifacts, then ISO 15944-4 definitely is worth looking at. And I guess
I should probably update that a little bit because I did it in a hurry. So I was trying to beat your midnight deadline, but I didn't.
I did look at some of that. I don't know if I included it all, but there was some very interesting work. Yeah.
And there were a few very valid questions, like, I mean, the dimensions and the metrics was totally unclear, I mean, to someone even.
That might have been more me than the actual framework. The fact that I didn't understand it rather than the framework wasn't crystal clear about it. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I know we're all busy, so unless there are any other issues, I propose that we adjourn today's meeting.
Thank you very much. Great meeting.
Okay. You guys.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks to all.